Welcome to Secrets of Stand-Up Comedy. I'm Dick Williams. I'm going to tell you everything I know about stand-up so you can be a better comic. All right, let's talk about what everybody else is talking about. Cat Williams with Shannon Sharp, Club Shay Shay. What a name, huh? This is how weird my brain is. I've watched the video, the interview, and it dawned on me maybe a day later, oh, maybe I should talk about this. I could have jumped on board when all the videos came out immediately. I have some personal knowledge related to all this, but I don't know. I want to keep this channel somewhat pure, and I don't want to pander. And this video is primarily for comics. When I switch over to showing me doing stand-up again, then it'll be for a wider audience, but let's look at this from a comics perspective, all right? I got my Cat hat on. I met Cat. We worked together. I've known Cat since like 1999, 2000, that era. And we did shows together. He would book me. He would repeat my jokes back to me, which I always thought was the greatest compliment you could ever give another comic. We weren't super tight. We didn't hang out outside of doing shows together. So I'm not like a super close friend. This is back when he used to go by Cat in the Hat, like he says in the video, in the interview. And I went by Rich Williams before I changed it to Dick Williams recently. Here's my take on this interview. Try to separate all the drama out from what you can learn as a comic. So if you go back through my videos, think about what I always say. Number one, don't steal. It comes back to haunt you. When a lot of comics, and I'm not saying people haven't, the people he called out, there's clips floating around now comparing jokes that were on sitcoms that later ended up in stand-up acts. And I've had the reverse happen. I had one of my signature bits show up on that TV show Weeds, and it was word for word. I know it was stolen. And that used to happen in the clubs where sitcom writers would sit in the back of the three main clubs in LA and just sit there with notebooks. And also writers for sketch shows would do that. And comics found out and they'd put a stop to it. There's only so much you can do. If there was some stealing, I'm sure that, I mean, we're talking about mega superstars that were brought up in the discussion with Cat. They're not going to admit it at this point. What, they don't need redemption in their minds if they did do it. And it's not easy for a comic to admit that. But you could judge for yourself, look at the comparisons, and just realize that being accused of stealing is one of the worst things that you can be accused of as a comic. It's just, I don't know how else to stress it to you. And there's one thing that Cat has to think about. I saw a clip where Corey Holcomb, who I worked with on Last Comic Standing and always thought he was hilarious, he accused Cat of doing a bit by J.B. Smoove. And the weird wrinkle in that is that I was trying to get on that Fat Tuesday show at the Comedy Store back when I moved to L.A. because I used to do the Black and Latino shows. So I went down there a couple times, and I remember one time I watched J.B. Smoove go up, and he did that bit to the music, and he'd cut it off, and then he'd say, you could do anything to this song, and then the music would kick back in. It was one of the funniest things I'd ever seen in my life. And then they played Cat's thing from his first special. Now, I don't know, I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but it would be interesting to me to hear what Cat has to say in response to that, because the timeline makes it seem like JB Smoove was doing that a lot longer and way before Kat did it. But again, I'm not the comedy police. I can make judgments for myself. I would like to hear from them directly. Another thing that I talk about on this channel all the time, don't badmouth your fellow comics. And you might say, wait, because I like Kat Williams. I thought it was a fascinating interview. And so you may be saying, but that's all he did was badmouth comics. It appears to me that he was responding to comics who had badmouthed him or lied about him. I don't watch all the stuff that everybody puts out, but that's how it came across to me. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Please tell me in the comments. But if someone is disparaging your name, that's all you have in comedy besides your material. You have to stand up for yourself. You have to come with evidence and facts and the truth to clear your name. There's been a lot of stuff said about Kat throughout the years. What else is he supposed to do? So that's one of the other drawbacks of breaking these rules. If you're going to be bashing a comic publicly, there's going to be a day of reckoning for that. They're going to clap back. Now let's get to the important part of the interview. If you put all the drama aside, that's the stuff that's making the internet go crazy. What's Kevin Hart going to say? What's Cedric the Entertainer going to say? Or Steve Harvey? Put that over here and listen to the other things Kat says. He financed his own special. He had $25,000. He put $22,000 into the special. He made a bet on himself. And like he said in there, how can you ask somebody else to invest in you if you're not willing to do it for yourself? He bet on himself and he won. That's way better than buying a watch with the money or a car. He can't buy a fancy car anymore for $22,000, I guess. But, I mean, he built an empire on his own. The fact that he tours that many days out of the year and he's making so much money doing it, he doesn't have to cut checks to all these other people. He's not being put on by some network or some exec somewhere. He's going out and doing it. Even after all these years in, he says he books the shows. He books the travel. I'm sure some of his several female staff members, I always got a kick out of that. That's also true. I would always see him with numerous women, and I guess they were employees. I don't know what's going on in Kat's life. But he does it himself. And so people are like, well, there's going to be a backlash against Kat. By who? Who can take that away from him? If you build something yourself, these other comics, they can't take that from you unless they call all these venues and go, hey, I'm going to boycott your venue unless you cancel the biggest name in comedy right now. So bet on yourself. Put your money where your mouth is. Do the work. Willie? That was a very important part of that interview. Kat talking about how he has 12 specials. 12 specials that he's been doing a new hour for the last 19 years. 19 hours of material. Man, I got both excited by that and also humbled. Because when I was doing stand-up, I did just enough to have that hour. And then when I moved to LA, I thought I had to show my best stuff every time I performed. And I was trying to get the attention of agents and managers and random executives, and it worked to some degree. I had the, when I went out just for 5 days one time to visit LA, see if I'd like it, I had a person in development at Buena Vista contact me. She wanted to know what I was all about, and we kept in touch when I was on the road finishing up. And it was great until it wasn't great anymore. Because what happened was all those people that I was hoping would see me and sign me or give me a big deal had already seen me. And so the next time they saw me, I was still doing that same material. It was killing, but they already heard those jokes. They already heard my point of view. I was telling them in a not-so-subtle way, hey, I'm not growing. I didn't have any guidance. I didn't realize that was the case until I got older and go, oh, yeah, I was running a show 5 nights a week. I should have been doing new stuff every time. That was my ego getting in the way as well. Because we would have new comics do the show, people I'd never met, and I wanted to impress them. I wanted to say, hey, you're not dealing with any amateur here. I'm going to go up here right now and kill for 10 minutes. And it helped to some degree, but ultimately it didn't get me where I wanted. You know? And also I did it, to be frank, to be completely honest with you, to impress women. A lot of beautiful women in Los Angeles. I'm like, I'm going to go up here and meet my next wife. I've never been married. I don't know why I said next wife. And that worked to some degree. But I didn't want for my career to reach some degree. I had my sights set way up here, but I was only doing some degree. So the idea of every year dropping all your material from the year before and starting fresh, it's inspiring and terrifying. And that's what I'm doing. January 20th is the 100th episode that I'm going back into stand-up. And I have my jokes that I've built throughout my career that I love, that I know I can go into any room and kill with. I have to drop them. Because all of that effort, all of that material that I took from little pieces of coal and I put pressure on them and refine them and turn them into diamonds, they only got me as far as they got me. And it wasn't far enough for me. And I had other things happen. I've had health issues, and I went into writing because I wanted to pay my bills, and writing has, I found, has always been my forte. But that material only got me so far. So I need to go back to the well and go back to the lab and create more stuff. I was doing the math last night. If I came up with 2 minutes of material a week, because at first you think an hour is like a crazy amount of material for a comic, especially in 1 year. Steve Martin, I think, said writing a 1 hour, maybe he said 2 hour stand-up set that's killer is the equivalent of writing the great American novel. I think that's a little bit of a stretch, but so I broke it down by week. If I wrote 2 minutes of material a week, that'd be 104 minutes at the end of the year. That's more than an hour. You could chop that up into two specials. When you start thinking like that, and you start thinking about what can I do each day, what can I do each week, and stack those pieces of work on top of each other, it becomes more attainable. If I started this experiment recording myself and giving my suggestions and advice on stand-up comedy and said, okay, it's September 18th when I made the first video, September 19th, and this is 2013 or 2023. if I said, okay, I'm going to have 86 videos by January 7th, I would never would have done it. It would have been overwhelming. But I just said, I'm going to make a video tonight. I've been putting this off for too long. And then I took a day or two off because it took me like 10 hours. And I said, all right, I'm going to make another video. And then I did the video about Susie Soro and focusing on what my goals are instead of just becoming a regular at the improv. Well, what does that mean? Why are you doing that? And she like really asked me good, thought-provoking questions, and it embarrassed me. In that video, I'm pretty sure I said, you know, I have to get my act together now. And so I started doing a video every single day. I've done like 70 in a row now. If I went back and said, okay, I'm going to do 70 videos in a row, one every single day, I wouldn't have done this. Maybe I would have, but it's a lot harder to start. You got to start with that first joke. And so if you think about, okay, I'm going to write 10 jokes a day today, see how it goes, see how I feel about it. And then, okay, I'm going to do it another day. And you just keep it going and keep it going. You're going to have so much material. I'm praying that that's true. I know it's true, but there's a part of me that is fearful. But when I do this, I'll probably write long form because I like doing stream of consciousness, but I also need to do jokes per day because I need to get stuff online. And so I'm going to do a combo, but I hope and pray that I can come up with better stuff than I have in the past. I should be able to. If I came up with that stuff, I can direct my own future. I can write my own script for my life. That's what Cat Williams did. Because despite everything, despite having feuds with comics or his issues with the law, he's been doing it all these years, effectively on his own. He's the captain of his ship. And nobody can take that from him. I mean, to have 12 specials, that's insane. That's like George Carlin and Louis C.K. And I don't know how many Robert Klein has, but it's that level of craft and putting in the work. If you think about, like, you have whatever level of talent that you have. That's something that's hard to change. You either have a certain level or you don't. But you can outwork everybody, especially in comedy. Because I had a lot of success for what I did. But a lot of times I was lazy. You could have outworked me, circles around me. And people did. There were people, I was writing for people and helping their career and not writing for myself. How crazy is that? I'm in Hollywood. My dreams are this close. And I'm giving jokes to other people. And apologizing I didn't get it to them quick enough. And then not charging them. Because I'm a little helper. But I got to help somebody else now. So watch the Cat Williams, Shannon Sharp interview. And take out all the salacious parts. And listen to what he says about stand-up. Listen to what he says about building his business. How he approached going into that Friday sequel and working on that character. Magic Mike. Or Money Mike. I didn't see it. They didn't show it in my theaters. No, I'm kidding. Like I have a different theater. They didn't allow whites in there. It was really crazy. L.A. was a different place then. But get all the lessons you can from that interview. Because there are gems. There's just so much. And when he talks about how he had a different set for a church, he could go perform in a church, do an hour, and crack them up and be clean and not offensive, and then go do a nightclub that night and do a totally different hour. That's next level. And listen to how he talks about writing. You have all the tools. It's up here. It's in here. It's your emotions, your thoughts, your beliefs, your cleverness. All you need is a piece of paper and a pencil. You don't need a fancy computer to be a comic. You don't have to have the latest technology. I could have made these videos on my little 720p or whatever the resolution is on an old laptop I have. But no, I had to wait until I had everything all set up. I had a Sony camera for this at one point that I sold. I had a Canon, and here I am using my iPhone. Because I wanted it to be perfect. I wanted it to look perfect. But I didn't want to do the work. I didn't want to sit down and rehearse and get comfortable in front of the camera. So I would distract myself by looking up the latest reviews. What's the best podcasting microphone? What kind of lighting kit do I need? I wasn't doing the basics, the foundation, the fundamentals. Don't make any more excuses. It's 2024. Leave all that stuff in the past. It's right there within your reach. Hit those open mics hard. Work that new material in when you're featuring at the club. Get a real response. See what you need to readjust, or if it's killing. You can do this. And when I say these things, I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to myself. God bless you, Cat Williams. I'll see you tomorrow.